Psalm 63, verse 3 for our text. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. We've come to Psalm 63 in our study of the book of Psalms. It's a study that we can take up and put down as we wish, and we looked at Psalm 62 last week. But we're on 63 in our text is verse 3. And the title for our meditation is A Favourite with God. David was a favourite with God. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. He was able to say this because he was a true-hearted believer. And to David, that was the ultimate experience in his life. To be in a loving, saving relationship with his God. He was able to say these words, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. It's interesting to note, friends, that David, when he uttered these words, when he penned this psalm, was not in a palace. He was not surrounded by luxury. He was not having a good time at all. Of course, that's the case with many of these psalms. David wasn't sitting on his throne when he wrote many of these psalms, and he wasn't knowing outward success and worldly admiration or whatever. No, when he penned this psalm, he was in the wilderness of Judea. We may well ask ourselves, what was he doing in the wilderness of Judea? What was the king doing there? Well, commentators are not in total agreement. There are basically two views. One says that he was running away from Saul. And of course, we know that he did that on many occasions. Saul was after him. Saul recognized that he was the Lord's anointed, and that the Lord had in some sense departed from Saul, and Saul's kingship and kingdom was going to come to an end, and David would be the king as far as the Lord was concerned. Obviously, Saul didn't want this. He wanted his kingdom to continue. He wanted his son Jonathan to take over, but that was not the Lord's will. And because of this, David was hunted on several occasions and his life was in danger and he had to run away. And therefore, some of the commentators maintain that this psalm was written on one of these occasions when he was hiding from Saul. The other view is that David penned this when his son Absalom revolted against him. And that's the view I'm inclined to accept. Because verse 11 tells us, but the king shall rejoice in God. But the king, that is David, shall rejoice in God. It is to be noted that David never calls himself the king when Saul was still alive. Certainly he was the king designate, and certainly he would be the one that would replace Saul in the Lord's providence. But as long as Saul was alive, David never referred to himself as king. And therefore, for that reason, I'm inclined to believe that this psalm was written when David was running along with others from Absalom. Absalom, who wanted to take over the kingdom. And as we said, he wasn't enjoying all the blessings of the kingship. He knew nothing of security or of luxury or of good wine or good food or choice entertainment. All of these things that belonged to the court, he knew nothing about because he was in the wilderness. Yet, he was able to say, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Well, there are two real things that I want to say from this short psalm tonight as we meditate upon it. And the first one is not really my first heading, but the first thing we would need to draw from this psalm is from David's experience. Here he was, we do believe, well, we know he was in the wilderness, there's no doubt about that. And we believe, as I have explained to you, that he was running away from Absalom. Why was he running away from Absalom? Well, we have to go back to that sad incident with Bathsheba and what happened there when he committed adultery. And then he ordered, in many ways, the death of Bathsheba's husband. And of course, he was confronted with that sin by Nathan the prophet. And yes, he was forgiven. He was forgiven. The Lord had taken away his sin. But the point is, in my introduction, the point is that even although he knew wonderful forgiveness and he was reconciled to God, yet there were ongoing consequences following his sin. The child that was born to Bathsheba, that child died. David's family, in some sense, was plagued with sin as a result. God was chastising David. Forgiven, yes. Reconciled, yes. But there were ongoing consequences of his sinful behavior. And this reminds us, friends, that forgiveness does not eradicate the effects or consequences of sin. We can have our sins forgiven, and it is a wonderful thing when we first believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ to have the guilt of our sins taken away. And as believers, when we fall into sin and when we confess our sin and the Lord forgives our sins and the relationship is restored again, but we must always remember there can be ongoing consequences that follow our sins. And this is to stir us up. This is to remind us that we must be continually out and out against sin. We're not to give it a moment's notice or a moment's attention. We're not to dally with it. When we see it, friends, we are to crucify it. That's what we must do, because we do not want to suffer the ongoing consequences of our sins. And this is what happened to David here. He was in the wilderness because his own flesh and blood rose up to oppose him. It's a warning. It's a warning to us all. And also we might notice here too that here was David, a favorite with God. Where does he find himself? He finds himself in the wilderness. In the wilderness. There is no doubt that today the people of God are suffering, and I'm primarily talking about our own country at this time. The people of God are suffering like they have never done before in recent times. There is far more persecution and hostility towards Christ and his people than, say, a generation ago. It was never, and there was never an easy time to be a Christian. No one for one moment is suggesting that it was an easy time to be a Christian. But it does seem as if persecution, hatred, animosity towards ultimately Christ is rising in our community and in the day that we find ourselves living in. And we are inclined not to like it. Of course, it's against flesh and blood. But we must remind ourselves, we must take a long-term view regarding these things. And it's nothing new for the people of God to suffer. Here was David, a favorite with heaven, anointed, yet he was in the wilderness. And Hebrews, remember that chapter, chapter 11, the chapter of the heroes of faith? Towards the end, Paul says this, talking about the heroes, all he had mentioned, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. That has been the experience of the church all throughout history. If we are in some sense connected to the Lord Jesus Christ, if we bear his royal name, we can expect these things. Now, from generation to generation, the amount of persecution, the variety of it, the form of it may change. That is true. But it is the portion of God's people. We only have to think of our own land. 200, 300, 400 years ago, people were burnt, drowned, heads chopped off because they belonged to the Lord Jesus Christ. We know nothing about that. It may come back again. Who knows? Who can tell how far things will go? We cannot tell. But here was David in the wilderness. And it is to remind us that in the providence of God, these things could well be our portion. And that we are to accept these things and to some extent because it's part of belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what do we want to say regarding our text? To see thy power, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. The psalm may well be divided into six parts. Someone has divided it into six headings. Verses 1 and 2, someone says his desires towards God. The next two verses, his esteem of God. Verse 5, his satisfaction in God. Verse 6, his secret communion with God. Verse 5, his joyful dependence upon God. Or verses 7 to 8, I should have said. And then the sixth heading is verses 9 to 11, where he acknowledges that his enemy shall be overthrown. Well, that's one way of dividing the psalm, but Spurgeon has a briefer and a shorter way. Verses 1 to 8, he basically says, here the psalmist praises the Lord. And verses 9 to 11, he is confident of the downfall of his enemies. So with these thoughts in mind, then, I want to draw two lessons from this psalm and from this text for us. First of all, as we read our text, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. First of all, then, he seeks God. This is what motivates, this is what drives David. This is his number one concern. He seeks God. O God, verse 1, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. Early in the sense of diligent. Early in the sense of being earnest. You notice, friends, he's running away from Absalom, we believe. He's in the desert. What's he doing? He is seeking God. He's not seeking the destruction of his enemies. He is confident that will happen, but that's not his number one concern. This is not his number one priority. His number one priority is he wants God. He wants to know and sense the felt presence of God. Despite the difficulties that he finds himself in, despite this unfavorable environment, despite all of these things that are against flesh and blood, this is what David wants above all things. He is seeking God. He's not looking so much for earthly comforts. He's prepared to bypass all of these things. This, friends, is what David wants most of all. And this is the mark of someone who indeed is a favorite with God. He wants God's presence above all things. He wants God's presence. And David is reminding himself of what it was like as he attended the public means of grace, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. But it's more than simply attending the means of grace. It's more than simply being with the people of God and hearing the word of God read and singing his praises and calling upon him in prayer and offering up the appropriate sacrifices. It's not just the means of grace that David is hankering after. It's much more than this. It is the God of the means of grace. That's what he wants. And we want to ask ourselves, because if we call and claim to be Christians, we must know something of this longing and of this desire for the presence of God himself. This is what David was longing for. In a wilderness, no comforts, yet he wanted God above all things. It's interesting to note, friends, as we've said, here we find David in dire straits. Well, most of the Psalms that we have looked at that were penned by David find him in dire straits. David was certainly a tried believer. He did not have an easy life. Virtually every one of them, we find David struggling. We find him in difficulties. We find him in affliction. We find him with his enemies after him. He is not in any sense having an easy life. And it does seem, friends, that David's tried experience as a believer was something that made him most prolific spiritually. Most of his psalms were penned under difficulties, under straits, under trials. And therefore, as he was being weighed down, it was God he was seeking above all things. And this is where his spiritual life seemed to ripen and to blossom and to flourish. Not in the times of prosperity, not in the times of ease, not in the times when everything was going well with him, but when things were going contrary to him. This is where we find that he writes most of what we find here in the book of Psalms. Is this not true for every believer? Is this not something that we can identify with? Oh, of course not. We're not ones who are inspired by the Spirit of the living God to write Holy Scripture. Of course not. We're not for one moment suggesting that. But is it not true that when things are not going well, when we face persecution, disappointments, difficulties, trials, is it not then that we find ourselves in a much more spiritual frame of mind? Is it not true when the sun is shining and when life, as far as we can see with our eyes, is concerned, when it's going well, maybe our souls may well be dry. And when the time of disappointment comes, it's then we seek the Lord. It's then that we bear fruit. It's then when our lives change. It's then when sin becomes a burden to us. It's then when we want to have fellowship and communion with God. It's then when we maybe enjoy the means of grace. And it's then maybe when we seek the presence of the Lord more and more. This is the way it was for David. He was one who was very productive and very prolific during the time when things were not going well as far as flesh and blood were concerned. And he remembers the time in the sanctuary. He remembers that, and he desires the blessing of the Lord again. And this truly is a mark of someone who is a favorite with God. To be one who desires to know the presence of the Lord above all things. Let's cultivate this, friends. Let us give God no rest, as it says in the book of Isaiah, until he makes Jerusalem the praise of the earth. That's just another name for the church. This is what should motivate the people of God. Well, the second thing we might notice from this here is he praises God. He seeks God, and now he praises God. Why does he praise God? Because, as our text tells us, because thy loving kindness is better than life. And that could well be translated, because thy loving kindness is better than life's, plural. And David is looking at things, he's weighing up the balance of things, and he is saying to himself, despite the fact that I'm under trouble, despite the fact that I may lose my kingship, my kingdom, despite the fact I don't know what's going to happen, I'm in the wilderness, yet the fact that the Lord loves me is infinitely better than life and life's itself. And David knew all about life. David knew about life and all its comforts. David knew about life and all of its luxuries. In his time as king, he would have been one who would have known excess in many ways. He would have known luxury that many of the people or his citizens would know nothing about. Yet, when he compares all this, this to him was above all these things. The loving kindness of the Lord is better than all the things that I've ever enjoyed in my life. All luxury, all prosperity, all fame mean nothing to me other than the fact that the loving kindness of the Lord is better than life. As someone said, friends, it is better to die in God's favor than to die under his wrath. And so it is. Jesus said much the same words when he said to the Jews, ye shall seek me and ye shall not find me, and ye shall die in your sins. Well, David was not going to die in his sins. No matter what was going to happen to him, he would not die in his sins. His sins were forgiven. That great transaction had been completed. The slate was clear. His sins had been blotted out. He was a favorite with God, and he knew something of the loving kindness of God, and he was able to see that it was better than life itself. Maybe, Christian, you've never thought of that. But this is true for every single child of God. Oh, to be a favorite with God. Oh, to have this relationship with God. We might not have much in this life. We might not have much to show. Our homes may not display wonderful things like luxury and extravagance. That's true. But if we know the loving kindness of the Lord, it is better than life. Better than all lives. Better than a long life. Better than all this world can give us. This, friends, is the ultimate experience. And this is what fired and motivated and stirred David and calmed him also. And this is why he wanted to know his God and to know his presence. Because the loving kindness of the Lord is better than life. That's why we read, or that's why we sang Psalm 30. Verse 5 says this also in different words. Verse 5 of Psalm 30, "For his anger endureth but for a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." And David knew this. He knew the loving kindness of the Lord. And as a result, he was going to bless his God. In the wilderness, in the heat of the day, you know, the promised land was a land described in the Bible as a land flowing with milk and honey. But it did have its deserts. It did have its places of desolation. And there's a lesson there for the Christian individual and for the Christian church also. This world is a wilderness for us. And what David experienced here, individuals and the church collectively can also experience. And although David was in the wilderness, he was still a favorite. And although a Christian today may feel as if they're in the wilderness, but in the reality, they are still a favorite. The loving kindness of the Lord does not depart. And for us as a congregation, and for us as a part of the professing Christian church, as we, in the year 2018, when we look at Scotland, as we look at the UK, as we see the Christian church plummeting, as we see it declining, as we see its influence having no influence in the national life, we are somewhat in the wilderness also. And therefore, we should be seeking the Lord's blessing, seeking God, crying out that God might manifest himself again, that he might come to our ordinances, come and be with us in the preaching of God's word. There are many, many faithful preachers in the professing Christian church today. Many are seeking to preach the word of God, but there's no power. There's no the presence of the Lord there. The church is in a wilderness experience. And the church needs to cry out that the Lord would be in our midst. And that he would encourage us and strengthen us and help us on our way. And because David was one that recognized that the Lord's loving kindness is better than life, "My lips shall praise thee," he was going to praise God, come what may. As we said, the first 8 verses, really, he dwells upon the praising of his God, even in the wilderness, because ultimately he knew that his enemies would be overthrown. He would leave these things in the hands of his God. He had delivered him in times past, and he did believe that he would deliver him in the future, according to his will. Well, a favorite with God, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. We hope, friends, we can all say this, because thy loving kindness is better than life. Amen. And may God be pleased to bless to us his word. Let us pray together.